It's a privilege to share the word, and we are continuing on relationships. But before we get there, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence, Lord. Thank you that we can boldly come through the new and living way that you've made for us through your Son, God. And we humbly come this evening, Lord, and we come and submit ourselves to your word, Lord. We acknowledge that we don't have all the answers, Father, and we know that you have, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher and the one that leads us into truth. And we come and submit ourselves to your truth, God. And I just want to yield my heart and mind to you, Father. And may, Lord, may every word that is not of you fall to the ground, Lord, but let you come and speak into our hearts, Father. Come and establish your word in us, Lord, and then establish your kingdom in and through us this evening, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Great. So, we've been looking at some things around relationships. We looked at in the first week, just we laid a bit of a foundation. Last week, we had a brief talk with a gentleman. I was at Shine next door, but I believe you all got the message. And so this week, we want to chat a bit to the ladies. I want to do that in a moment. But before we do that, we did mention, and this is important, that marriage and having kids and all those things and all those blessings, it's not the end destination and the be-all and end-all of being a Christian. Okay? So we spoke about that misconception and that is not the final destination and the final frontier, if whatever you want to call it. There's a lot more to life in Christ than being married and having kids and having a family. Okay, we said that. But if we are going to spend some time now talking about marriage and relationships and stuff like that, I would say we need to kind of come back to the beginning a little bit and say, first we need to see what is God's intention? What's his intention with this whole concept of relationship? If you're going to talk about relationship between a male and a female, beyond friendship or brother and sister relationship, then we need to look at what is God's intention, what is his design, what is his plan? Okay, are you agreeing with me there? Okay, let's look at what his plan is first, and then we'll chat to the ladies a bit. And unfortunately, a lot of us have been exposed to quite different views or experiences of what marriage is and what, you know, how relationships work, depending on where you come from and what kind of home you grew up in and what kind of community you grew up in. So we have all kind of different ideas and different exposures, and it's good for us to come back and to stop and to say, okay, I've got lots of things going on in my mind about this thing. But God, what is your plan and what is your design? God is the creator. It was his plan, his design, his intention. So we go back to the designer, the manufacturer, the manual, and we go and see what is it that God has intended for this. As I mentioned a week or so ago, whenever we use something for something other than what it was designed for, we end up just destroying it. And it's a mess, like the knife that I use for a screwdriver before I got that nice toolkit. Thanks, Liffy. But have you seen these toolkits? I don't know if they sell them here as well. It's a ladies' toolkit.
Yeah. Pink one.
Pink one. It's got a hammer shaped like a high heel shoe.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Okay, no, it's not funny, but I thought that was good. So whenever we use something other than what it was designed for, we end up destroying it and damaging it. And it's the same with relationships, the same with marriage. And that's why we go back to the designer. We go back to the manufacturer's manual, and we're going to go look at the word, the scripture, as the authority on these matters. Are you with me? So this is where we're starting. All right, so let's start in the beginning. It's always a good place in the beginning. But we'll start with Genesis 2 from chapter 18. Okay. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. Excuse me, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay, this is amazing. Right there in the beginning, we see a bit of God's purpose and design. And specifically, what caught my eye here is right through the whole creation process, we see God speaking into being. He says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And as he goes on and he looks at the results of the creation process, he is pleased, and he says, "It is good." And I would agree. If you look around, it's good. Specifically, you know, if you ever look at some of those incredible photos that we have managed to take from outer space. In any case, God says it's good. Then he gets to human beings, and God says it's very good. So you guys can tap yourself on the shoulder. Very good, okay? But then, for the first time, God says, it is not good. So we've had very good, good, and all lots of good, and very good. And then suddenly, there's the first thing that God says, this is not good. So I'd say this is worth our while to have a look at this thing that's not good. And the thing that he said there, it is not good for man to be alone. And that was just confirmed again yesterday to me at the women's tea, gentlemen. I know you missed out, but it's not like I joined the ladies. Let me just clarify that. I didn't sit down and have tea. I was the slave, okay, in the background. But it was a lot of fun. But the amazing thing was just the creativity that comes out there. And everybody is there, and everybody is, you know, got their finest whatever, dressed up nicely, and the creativity, like I said, all the ladies being involved, you know, the people, you wouldn't even think they can do stuff like that, and they come up with these incredible ideas for decor and stuff, very amazing. And I must say, guys, I would say God had a good idea, yeah. Because just if he stopped with Adam, it might have been a bit boring. The earth would have looked a little different, I reckon. And so that is good. And just on the side, in terms of the ladies we have in church, I would say if I had brothers, I would organize for them to come here. We've got some serious good catches in our congregation, gentlemen. And if you have any doubts around that, you can come and chat to me, and I'll set you straight. And any case, so that was a real blessing. It is not good for man to be alone, okay? Okay, so God figures this out, and I reckon Adam agreed after looking at all the, you know, the animals. He says, no, this is not good. We need something else. And let's look what happens in Genesis. I'm going to go back to Genesis 1 from verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Okay. And then, if you see a few chapters later, things go very badly wrong. In fact, we mess things up a bit as humans. And the flood, God organizes the flood to kind of just have a clean slate. And Noah and his family, so they're starting over, basically. And God says exactly the same thing to Noah in chapter 9 from Genesis. It says, "Be fruitful and multiply." So God is quite serious about this whole fruitful and multiply thing. And so he kind of repeats it there just to make sure the message is still clear. So that's the first thing. God's purpose for marriage is procreation. Okay? We see Adam and Eve in the garden, husband and wife, naked, unashamed. And God comes to them and says, be fruitful and multiply. And Adam looks at him and he says, oh, well, I was going to do that anyway. We were going to do that anyway because we are here, we are alone. In any case. And now they get the instruction that Adam was hoping to get. And he was saying, yes, you know, that we'll definitely do that one. And the blessing is there from the start. But the incredible thing is here is that God has created us in his image. And then he says, I want you to multiply that image. I want you to bear children and raise them so that they can represent me, so that they can be like me, so that you can represent me in the earth. And that has not changed. And now, unfortunately, many out there don't know this, but it's so much more important today for us to bear children, godly offspring. Scripture says God desires godly offspring. And for us to bear children and raise them in a way that they would glorify God. That we represent him and be a clear representation of who he is. Powerful mandate that we have from him right there. And whether it gets to a point of adoption or whatever way it happens, whether it be spiritual children or physical, this is part of his mandate for us. Is to raise children that can glorify him and represent him in the earth. Secondly, got quite a lot to cover, basically two sermons in one. So just hang in there, no early suppers tonight. Don't worry. Number two, God designed marriage. This is amazing. It's incredible. To be an illustration for the world out there of the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. For us, in a marriage scenario, for husband and wife to represent that mystery of that, which is probably the most important relationship, if you want to talk about a relationship that exists, that between Jesus and his bride. Jesus is coming back for his bride. The scripture says he's jealous. He is a jealous bridegroom. He's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. There's this incredible thing happening in scripture, and we experience it like that. We experience this relationship between us as a body and Jesus, the bridegroom, and that is what we in a marriage relationship need to represent to the world. Again, it kind of puts the fear of God in you because you don't want to misrepresent that, okay? But that is part of the purpose that God has for marriage, the design for us to be that to the world, to illustrate that, to represent him in that way. Okay. Now, I understand and I recognize that not all of us have a desire to marry, maybe. Not all of us might not be called to be married. But, you know, Ephesians 4:1 says, I'll just quote it, walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. So whichever one of those you fit in, walk worthy of that call. Okay, but tonight we're going to speak about relationships, and if you are interested, okay, or if you are in one, or keen to be in one, or praying to be in one, or have been one, or firstly, the first step is to align yourself with God's purpose in this thing, with his design for marriage, with his understanding, his plan for it. Are you with me? In other words, I get reminded of something Rolf said many years ago, that gentleman that was here 2 weeks ago. He said, sometimes he finds himself disagreeing with God. Okay? I don't know if you've ever had that. It's not good, but it happens. So he says, then at first, you know, it's a bit disconcerting, but then he wants to, you know, fix the situation. So then he repents. And he carries on repenting. And, you know, repentance, as we know, means to change your mind, to have a transformation in your mind, basically. And he says he keeps on repenting until he agrees with God on this whatever issue. And then he will not you know, then he's unstoppable because now he agrees with God. Then people must listen. And he will not argue about it because now he agrees with God. Now he's got this thing settled in his mind. He knows, he's in agreement with God and he knows now he's right, type of thing. Okay, he's quite a funny guy. But it makes sense to me, you know, that before we go into something like this, we need to have our minds renewed and make sure that we are in line with God's purpose and his design for a relationship with, leading into marriage. Okay. Good. Now, last week, are you still with me this evening? Brief introduction. Last week, we saw that men are called to lead. All right? We saw men called to lead in love, lead in selflessness, lead in intimacy. And, you know, in Anna and I, we're dating many, many years ago. Actually, no, I'm going to speak a bit more about that a bit later. So just hang in there. We'll talk about that. Made some mistakes and got one or two things right. I'm just joking. Okay, now we'll speak about that later. Okay, men are called to lead, love, and selflessness, and intimacy. And I want to add to that, very importantly, men. Okay, before we get to the ladies. Ladies, hang in there. Okay, hang in there. We are called to lead spiritually, in righteousness, in the word. The man, our role is to lead in those areas. And ladies, if you find yourself in a relationship, or if you know of someone in a relationship where the lady has to continually try and pull up the gentleman or this guy to the kind of spiritual level or the kind of relationship she has with God, or kind of try and pull him up to some kind of a different place, she's in trouble. Because that is not what God has intended. And that's where the whole concept of unequally yoked comes in. Because if you think about it, when two oxen are yoked together, you know what a yoke is? I didn't bring a picture today. But you know, oxen yoked together, they're pulling something normally. And if two oxen yoke together and the one is, if they're not similar, obviously they're never going to be exactly the same height and size. But if one is kind of very much in a different size than the other one, it's not going to work. There's going to be a lot of frustration, a lot of pain even. The one's going to kind of carry the brunt of the load. But firstly, they're going to get hurt, they're going to get frustrated. And very importantly, they're not going to get the job done. In this case, in that situation, I believe you will miss God's purpose because you're not able to fulfill it. You're not able to pull together. You're not able to draw what, you know, to run with the purpose of God in your life if you find yourself in that skew kind of unequally yoked situation. Are you with me still? Okay, so gentlemen, we call to lead. And I just want to be straight with you this evening. I don't want to hear, tried. That doesn't really work for me. Or no, it's. I'm not really that kind of guy. It's not going to cut it. Unfortunately, gentlemen, I told this to the guys in tweeting last week. You and I will one day stand before the living God, the Creator of the universe, and we will give an account for our marriage and our relationships. And it puts the fear of God in me to have to stand before him and say, you know, I didn't really take that one seriously. And in any case, I'm not going to go too long on that, but let me give you an example. If you, for instance, gentlemen, if you were to be offered a promotion, maybe one, not only one step up from where you are now, but like some three steps up. You know, the boss, the big boss comes to you, you kind of get the fright of your life because he's never been on your floor before, but now he's there. He says, listen, we need you up there. things have gone wrong. I know you should have only gotten there when you're 40, but now we need you there right now. And you need to take this company car and this package. I know it's 5 times that you earn now, but you need to kind of step up now. Who of you will say, well, you know, I'd really like to, but I don't really qualify You know, I don't really have the qualifications. I don't believe we would say that. I believe you and I will do what it takes to make it happen. We will study after hours. We will read books. We will work in the early mornings. We will do what it takes to kind of to make it happen. Are you with me? And in the same way, if God says, this is very important and I want you to do this now, gentlemen, you need to do what it takes. If it means you need to put in more time in Scripture, that's got to happen. I'm talking to myself as well. Okay? We need to do what it takes. We need to lead in that sphere. Okay. Okay, ladies, almost there. Okay, now, just before we get serious with the ladies, although this is pretty serious, Avadi Bakram, Dr. Bakram, who's we've been working through some of his material, and I'm using some of his insights just to give him credit for that. It's not, unfortunately not, or fortunately not copyrighted because it's in Scripture. But his top five, would you like to hear his top five reasons why ladies choose biblically unqualified men? You interested? Top five reasons. Okay, if you want it or not, I'm going to give it to you. It's for free. Okay, firstly, number five. Why ladies sometimes, and I assume this is like Christian ladies, choose men that are biblically not really qualified. Firstly, well, I'm going to work them back. So from number five, lust. Going after the good looks, okay? Sorry, that doesn't apply to you guys, I know. But just for understanding for the guys out there, the ladies, okay? In fourth place, we have what he calls desperation. Sounds a bit harsh. But guys, you must understand, the enemy bombards the ladies with incredible bombardments of thoughts of, you know, you're getting old, you're not getting younger, God has forgotten about you, he doesn't know where you're at, he doesn't understand, and he's moved on. Okay, I'm not saying this lightly, okay? But this is the reality. And so many ladies struggle with these bombardments of lies from the enemy. And sooner or later, if they don't get the word in them and the truth about God's purpose and plan for them, these things start taking root, okay? Number three, he says, time invested. And I've actually seen this happen. But we've been going out now for 8 years. And we're not engaged. He hasn't made a move. I don't know. You guys know people like that. If I break up with him now, it means I've wasted a quarter of my life. I mean, that sounds terrible, but that's the reality, you know. If I end this now, I don't feel the conviction anymore. God is doing something in my life, and this is kind of causing lots of, you know, frustration and kind of wrestling with God. But I don't want to give this up because it feels like I've wasted so much time. I've invested so much time into this relationship. And then, unfortunately, often ladies choose not to break up the relationship. Again, the enemy comes at them and says that you will have wasted so much time. God is not limited by time. He can restore those years within, like that, when the right guy comes on. When you step into that plan. Number two, materialism. Again, this probably not relevant to anybody, but you know, I need to think about my children one day. I want to be, you know, I need to look, you know, think practically. This guy has got big bucks. You know? So let's stop being choosy and let's just, you know, do the wise thing, the sensible thing. I don't know, maybe your mother told you that, but okay, so materialism is number two. And then number one, apparently, probably among Christian ladies, is mysticism, he calls it. And that's that disease that is common amongst Christians, and also gentlemen, unfortunately, is I love this person so much. And I've looked for a word, and I found a word in scripture, or I had a dream, or I prayed, and now I have peace about it. And because we are infatuated, and because when we're in that state, and I know because I've been there, your emotions are going all over the place. And it's exciting, and it's crazy, and it's a roller coaster ride. And you will find that word, and I promise you, you will. You will find 5 or 15 confirmations if you need them. And we believe we're being very spiritual, but actually we're falling for an old one of the enemy, because we are often in that situation, isolating ourselves. We're not listening to people around us that really care and that can hear from God when we are not able to. Amen? And that has happened to me. So I would say, in those times, it's important to have those people around you to say that love you, that you can say, listen, am I missing it with this guy? And they would say, run for your life. Okay. All right. That was just for free on the side. Okay. So the role of the man can be summarized in the term headship. Taking the lead, leading. Okay. Now remember, this is very important, people. This leading, taking the lead, the headship that I'm talking about, it's not to do with value. Okay? It has got to do with order. Okay? When I've learned some things about baking in my almost 5 years of marriage to this lovely lady in the front, because Anna knows some stuff, and I've been, I had to help sometimes. I don't really mind. It's fun. And it's very difficult. But especially in our first trimester, when she was very nauseous. At one stage, Adam was just sitting there in the kitchen floor and giving me the instructions. And I was baking. And I was doing stuff. And I was always amazed, because when she's finished baking, everything is nice and neat, reasonably neat. When I'm finished, it looks like a bomb exploded. In any case, so what I've learned, one of the little thing, basic things I've learned, is that little thing, that recipe, it's important. Okay, that's kind of the key thing. You know, you can be creative with lots of stuff, but you need to follow those steps. I know, ladies, you're laughing because that's duh, you know, but that's a revelation. You know, that's the important stuff. And I've seen you can be creative, but if you get the order wrong, it's not good. It's not like the eggs are more important than the flour, but if you get the order wrong, it doesn't work. Are you with me? So it's not about this one is more valuable than that one. Is if you get the order wrong, it's not going to taste good. And trust me, this is not good, okay? You can decide one day, I'm going to get it all, I'm going to be creative, I'm going to bake everything first and then mix it all together. Maybe it'll be cool, you know, okay. You get my point? It's not about value, it's about God's design, it's about the order. And He's designed it in a way that it's going to be good, and it's going to taste good, and it's going to bless everybody else as well. Amen. Right, so, Dr. Bockham also says that the lady's role, in the same way, can be encapsulated in one word. Okay, now we get to the difficult bit, because this is a very politically incorrect word. Now you know what I'm talking about. But I've had some very interesting discussions with some friends from school, and when this word jumps out, it gets very tense and uncomfortable, and people, and then we have some heated discussions, which is great. You know, you need to have those. But the challenge we stand before today is what happens when our political correctness comes up against the Word of God, comes up against Scripture, and kind of we're facing this dilemma. Okay, so let's look at Scripture. The word that I'm talking about is submission. Okay, it's not so bad. Nobody running out? Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Let's have a look at Scripture. And let's pull this word apart a bit and let's see what it means and let's take it from there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Okay, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay. Now, firstly, I need to clarify some things around this term. And then we're going to see again how this fits in with the role. Now, submission in this case is a military term, which is right down my street. But it's very important. We must understand that it comes from the term that is used for voluntary yielding to orders, submitting to orders or rank. Voluntary. Okay? That is a very important ingredient of submission. It cannot be forced upon anybody. It cannot be taken from somebody. Submission is something that is offered and given. Okay? Are you with me? It's not, the scripture doesn't say husbands dominate your wives and put them in their place. You won't find that there. Okay? It does say a lot about, I'll get about that now. But there's nothing like that. I'll get to that. It is a voluntary action. It's a decision that is made, a choice to give something, to submit to someone voluntary. Okay? Again, nothing to do with value. In the military, that's also very clear. A lieutenant might have been in the field for 2 weeks, and the sergeant who has to submit to him has been there for 20 years, but he still submits because he understands how things work. Okay? He submits to those instructions. Now, the thing is with submission, before we carry on, if we go back to the picture we painted of the how the husband must be, how the man must be, okay? We looked at husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. We're talking about laying your life down for your wife. We're talking about serving your wife to the point of death, okay? To beyond all your own ambitions and desires. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about a total giving up of yourself to the wife. Jesus paid the highest price. Okay? Serving, loving, yielding. Oh, yes, Jesus is also the commander of the hosts of heaven. But do you see this picture that we're getting? Now, what I want to ask you before we continue is, would it be a problem to offer your submission to someone like that? No, I don't think so. Like I offer my submission to Jesus Christ, it's not a problem. You're with me. Okay. Good. Then very importantly, and this is quite mentioned twice in these few scriptures I read now, wives submit to your own husband. Not women submit to all men. Please get that right, ladies. Okay. Only the wife to the husband. Sometimes ladies get confused and they think, no, I must submit to everybody. And no, that's not right. Wives to your own husbands. And if you're in a relationship and you're not married, you know, if a guy were to come to me and say, I've got problems with my girlfriend, she doesn't submit to me, I'll want to just go, gah! You know, and just help him to wake up, say, she's not supposed to submit to you. Man up and marry the girl, and then we can talk again. But yeah, okay. So it's not just random. Any woman to any man. It's just very clearly, wives submit to your own husband. Okay. Now, man, I'm gonna do you a favor now, and I'm gonna give you some pointers what to look out for in the context of submission. And I'm going to, ladies, you can tick the boxes. I know you'll have them all ticked as you go on. Yes, got that one down, etc. Okay, let's start. Let's just I've just got a few pointers here. All right. Firstly, gentlemen, When you see a lady on the horizon and your heart goes like this. Okay, no. Firstly, look out for the most important thing. Is she submitted to Christ? We're going to talk about in which way the submission fits into the role. Okay. Firstly, is she submitted to Christ? And guys, as we said with the ladies, there's no way around this. There's no compromise. There's no if you cut the corner on this one. In Afrikaans, we have a very good saying. It says you are picking a cane. Yes, for your own backside. Okay, it doesn't work in English, but you are causing yourself lots of drama. Okay, but now beyond that, don't even go there. Okay, if she's not submitted to Christ. Don't even go there. Me and I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. So, is she, her life bearing fruit worthy of repentance? Okay. Is she living a real relationship? Is she walking in a real relationship with the real God? And we can see the fruit of that in her life. Is she secure in that relationship with God? Secondly, is she submitted to the authorities that God has put in her life? And now, there are some key pointers here that you can, you know, it's not always possible to go with to work and to just check. I just want to see how you deal with your boss, you know. But the kind of very important ones are her parents. Okay, how does she relate to her father? How does she relate to a mother? Key relationships that we can kind of gauge where is she at? Has she got that thing? Does she understand that concept? And it's amazing. You can gauge it with in terms of you know how we speak about the authorities God has placed over us, whether it's in the workplace or in society. Obviously, you get extreme cases. Okay, so please don't get me wrong. You get cases where even a father could be someone that abuses that place of authority, okay? And definitely in the workplace we get that. So please understand that God does not require us to submit to anything that is contrary to Scripture, okay? So, you know, Anna and I had a boss once that required her to lie to clients and stuff like that. And she very clearly told them that she was not going to do that because she doesn't have to submit to that because it's ungodly and it contradicts Scripture. This is a Christian boss. Okay. Yes, so obviously you have those extreme cases where even in a family, in a parent, you know, relationship with your parents, there are places where it goes beyond that submission. Okay, you understand that. Okay, I'm not talking about that. Right. Then, thirdly, gentlemen, and this is actually quite a key. Is she submitted to God's purpose and God's design for marriage? Are you on the same page when it comes to marriage and, you know, family and that type of thing? And this is key because before you step out onto this relationship that if you are, you know, in relationship with God, this you would like this relationship to end up in marriage, then you would want to be on the same page as far as this is concerned. Okay, so make, you know, be honest with one another. I'm coming from a different background than you. I've got some, you know, different ideas. I'm missing something here. Sorry. You know, we come from different backgrounds. We've got different experiences with marriage. Let's just get on the same page and make sure that we are agreed on this. And is she submitted to God's biblical design for marriage and his purpose for it? Okay. We lay that crucial foundation before we go down the road. And, you know, I'm not saying we all have bad experiences of marriage. Some of us have amazing examples. Our parents have got things right. And that's amazing. You can come to the table and say, listen, my parents did it like this, And look how well I turned out. Now, you can see, you know, this is great, and I love that, to see that, and, you know, I want to do it in a similar way. And, you know, but that's, you know, maybe you didn't. Maybe you came from a different background, and it didn't go so well, and you're kind of running away from that. We tend to either run away from the way our parents did it, or to say, yes, this is good, or just kind of extremes. But just sit down and make sure there's an agreement on that, and kind of on the same page, and you agree around God's purpose and His design and His plan. That's a good starting point. Okay. Now, as I said, when we start talking about things like submission and the role of the lady, specifically some of my friends that I spoke of earlier, they have a bit of a, they get this picture in their mind. And that's what people are upset about. They immediately, if you talk about stuff like this, people think you mean that we are going back now to the Dark Ages. And we're going back to this archaic system that enslaves ladies to a place of basically slavery. You know, they get those terrible jokes that come from there, you know, barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen type of thing. You know, people get this picture, and then people get very upset and uptight, and it's not good. But the reason for this, and I want to stand a bit still on this now, is because people don't understand God's design. People don't understand His order that He has created. And if you look around us in society, people don't have a high view of marriage. Do you agree with me? If you look around, it is, especially in this in the UK, it's not the norm to marry. In fact, you know, it's kind of a, maybe someday, it's not really necessary, why bother type of thing. Maybe now and again, it still happens. So we see this thing where people don't have this view of marriage anymore, this high view, this kind of, they don't see any worth in it. They don't understand why it is there, what the concept, you know, what God's plan is. And with that background, I can understand why people get upset. Okay. Now, we must understand here that, I don't want to get super spooky here, but the enemy, the devil, you know, if I wanted to destroy a society, if I wanted to put my finger in there and make sure I mess up what God has intended, the blessing and the favor and the, you know, the purpose that God has, I would also, as He has been, strike at the core unit, the basic unit of society, which is the family. That is where I'll go, because that's where you can cause the most destruction. And that is what He's done. If you look around us, we see problems. Okay, we see broken homes, we see broken lives. You know, we see children doing weird things, and we wonder, why is it happening? Why do we have these terribly, you know, crazy things happening in our society? We have problems with AIDS, with an AIDS pandemic. And all of that comes from this place. When you strike the family, and the family breaks, and there's chaos there, that's where the problems start. Okay, so this is part of the assignment, I believe, of the enemy, is to bring destruction and to kill and steal and destroy and to steal from God's purpose and to kind of interfere with His design. Are you still with me? So, when He has distorted and destroyed that design, that image of marriage that God had in mind, we miss the power of God's purpose for it. And we completely miss the boat. We don't understand what it's for. And we miss what God had intended. On the other side of the coin, you know, when somebody grasps this thing, and this is amazing, if you look at the powerful picture when the lady understands this is the role, this is the plan, this is what God has called me to do, we see nation-changing power potential coming together when that happens. You know, when you look back through history, it's amazing. We can look at many examples of ladies, powerful women of God, who have taken, done incredible things for God. We can look at so many examples of ladies that have changed nations, that have caused revivals, that have run with the cause of Christ and have done incredible things for God, okay? But even if you look beyond all those examples of powerful women of God, and you look at the men, okay, the exceptions are very few. Powerful men of God that have changed the world and have changed nations. If you look at them, you will find behind them one, mostly two, powerful women of God. His mother and his wife. If those ladies have grasped what God's order and his plan and his design is, then you will see nations changing. You will see the purpose and the power of God coming to pass and being established like very few other times. Because those things are there and everybody understands how the recipe fits together. When somebody, there's that unmissable role. You cannot change that thing. You cannot take that role out of the recipe. But if you want nation changes, you need to have the recipe in order. If you want the kingdom of God to be established, if you want that the power of his purpose happening, you need those ingredients. And now, if we're talking about, different things, illustrating certain things about God to the world. Like I said, the relationship between Christ and his church, his bride, and the relationship between husband and wife that represents that. Now, I want to ask you, I'm going to give you a picture of what is illustrated, what is presented to the world when a woman of God steps into this and understands this, the role and the purpose of God. And this is, I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5. This is the picture that is projected. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is powerful. This is the picture that is being painted by a lady that understands that she's submitting to the purpose of God. Because this is what Christ has done. Christ, Jesus, came from that place of glory and he submitted himself to the plan and the purpose of God. And this is the most powerful history-changing event of all time. And that is the picture that goes out when ladies decide to submit to the purpose of God. It is the most powerful. There's so much potential in it. When there's so much power in it, when a lady projects that picture, a picture not of just surviving, just making it, slave sitting in the kitchen, but somebody that understands the purpose and of God, understands her role, and submits to that, and understands God's overcoming love and glorious, victorious love. Because Jesus not only died, He rose from the dead and He reigns. And that picture of Him not only dying, not only sacrificing, but being raised up, being exalted, and bringing glory to the Father in the most powerful way that you can imagine. And you know what? We're going to be in heaven one day, and there are going to be ladies there, you know, up there in the throne room of God. There are going to be thrones for the 12 apostles, and we might recognize some of them. But there are going to be ladies sitting right up there, and we're going to think, who's that? I recognize that guy. I saw him on TV once, maybe. But who is that lady? Who's that person? She doesn't look familiar. But there are nation changers. People that have understood this thing and have just stepped into line with what God's purpose for them is. And now, ladies, you must understand, this is not about I see myself as a career woman, or I see myself as I just want to be a mom. I don't want to work. You know, I just want to be there at home. Whatever you see yourself as, wherever you find yourself, grab a hold of this. Make, you know, that confidence. Be confident that you are where God has called you to be. Knowing, yes, God, I know you've called me to be here now. I'm running 100% for your purpose and your plan. I'm going for God full out. And if ladies, if you want to know this, this is, I want to speak just for a moment on behalf of men. This we find very attractive when a lady is going for God. When she is excited about Him. And when she's not depressed at home, you know, it's difficult and things are, but going for God, running with Him, seeking Him with everything she's got. You know, being content in who she is, whether it be career, yes, I'm going to be the CEO, or whether it be I want to be at home, whatever that is, however God is calling her, wherever God is calling her, just to be content in that, to be running with it 100%, secure in God, having found that security in a relationship with Him. I don't know if we mentioned this a week or so ago, but Lee Giglio has this great teaching around this, and some of you guys have seen it. But he gets to a point where he says, you know that the tension that there is when you meet someone, or it's not tension, I suppose, at the beginning, but there's like this bit of excitement, and you're wondering, could this be the one? You know, you kind of, and then a few minutes, you realize, no, this guy's a jerk, this is not it, you know, he's not the one. But, you know, in the back of your mind, sometimes you meet someone, you think, maybe this is the one. And what he says is, if you and I are rooted in our relationship with Christ, and in fact, we have already found the one. In fact, when Jesus is at the center, and nobody can take His place, He is the one. There's no contest. No one else will come close to that place. I find my identity in Him. I'm secure in Him. I'm rooted in Him. I'm loved. I'm accepted. If you like me, that's great. If you don't, well, look at who does. Jesus paid the highest price for me. I'm secure in that. Nobody can shake that. That position has been filled. I have found the one. You might be the two. You know, the pressure's off. And that is attractive in a lady, when we can see that she's secure and she's found that place of contentment in Christ. That place of just being found on that rock that is Jesus. And obviously there's a place in marriage where we serve one another. And Rolf said the other day to the men, you know, there's this thing in society, a real man, you know, a real man must be able to meet, you know, a lady's needs physically. But when it comes to where the rubber meets the road, gentlemen, a real man is the one that can meet a lady's needs emotionally.
Amen.
Okay? Okay. Can, and but I want to add to that is that on our best day, when we are 100% in the spirit and, you know, got up on the right side of the bed, good breakfast, 5 hours in the Word and intercession and full of the Spirit of God and anointed, even on those best days that we have, we cannot fulfill that role that Christ has in your life. That place that He fills, that one place. We can't do that. Okay? So that wholeness and that security needs to be in place. Obviously, we grow in that. We all do. Even beyond marriage, we're still growing in that. But that is so attractive when that thing is happening. Okay? Okay. We need to close. Ooh, oh, no. That's not so bad. Okay. Finally, in every relationship, there are defining moments. And literally, the moments when you and I have to bring definition to this relationship. And when Adam and I, this was, like I said, many years ago. Now, we were young and we were at varsity. So just to put it into context, and I say that people think it's funny when I say I took Anna to McDonald's. Okay? So just in context, we were just like, you know, that was a big budget outing. No. But what happened is we were kind of friends, and we got to know each other through mission trips, and we spent a lot of time together, and there was no... Do you know the time they're like, you know, you haven't really said it out there, and it's not in the open yet, but there's definitely something going on. Okay, so now I'm being the very spiritual one. I'm saying no. I'm thinking to myself, I think I got some advice. You must define the relationship. You must define now. And if it's not, if you're not at the place yet where you can, you know, have the important talks and things, you must first define it as a friendship. Okay, so this is my mission. So I ask Anna, we go, I don't know if it was after church or whatever, but just quickly pop into McDonald's for an ice cream, you know, it's one of those 99-cent ice creams. Because this is a friendship thing. This is a only friends for now talk, okay? In any case, it was a crash and burn, you know, terrible mess I made because I didn't communicate. I think I was just... you know, bubbling along and not making any sense. And I don't think, and I thought, wow, this guy is a bit, you know, missing a few screws somewhere. You know, guys. But we didn't really communicate well, and there was no real fruit of that conversation, and there was no definition afterwards either. So that, don't do it like that, okay? But, you know, months down the line, because now in this time we were still. We on campus, we used to run into each other on by accident quite often, you know, because I knew exactly where she sat in the library, and you know, on my way home, I would go that way around the town. Except, although my house was right there, just like this bit, and I would go there past the rest, just in case, maybe. Anyway. So we had to run into each other and talk for hours, and this thing was going on. And then we had to actually get to a place where we had a proper conversation and to kind of clarify things. And I'm not going to tell you what happened then, but in every relationship you get to a point like that, okay? You get to a point where, and often, unfortunately, it's the lady that kind of brings it up and the men just want to run away. I know it's not like that, yeah, but, you know, you get to a point where you need to kind of now talk about this and kind of bring definition. And what mostly happens is one party has to take the step. Okay, now he's sitting down and the one party has to basically put their heart on the table and say, and become very vulnerable and say, this is how I feel. And it's a scary place, because now you're saying, this is how I feel, and immediately there's one of two things that can happen. One is, I feel the same, and it's like, yeah, wow, you know, and there's And there's a reciprocation and an acceptance. Okay? And then the other thing that can happen is there can be a rejection of that thing. And that vulnerability is kind of then, it's a very sensitive thing. Now, when we're talking about relationships, what I want to close with is wherever you find yourself, whether you're married or not, or in a relationship or not, or children or not, wherever you find yourself, the most important defining moment in our lives that lays the foundation and establishes and is the kind of the determining factor in any relationship that we enter into, whether it be friendship or colleague or whatever relationship, the most important defining moment is that one where you and I respond to God. Because He has done the same thing. God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Creator of everything, has come and He's taken that step and He's put His heart on the table and He's made Himself vulnerable in a way that nobody else has ever done in all of history. He chose to die naked on a cross. How's that for vulnerable? He's saying, this is how much I love you. I'm putting it out there. This is how I feel. This is the price I'm willing to pay. This is the length I'm willing to go to for you. And again, there's the place of, now one of two things can happen. And very sadly, often people, I'm not interested. Not looking. I'm not into that stuff. No thanks. People harden their hearts. But I want to encourage us tonight that every day you and I respond to that in a way. Some days, I want to ask that question. How are we responding to it? How are we responding to that gift that God has given? Yeah, this is me. This is the highest price. This is it. There's no higher price than this. This is how much I value you. This is how much I love you. This is how much I'm willing to give for you. And, are we taking all of that? Are we standing in awe of that every day and saying, God, I don't understand it, but I receive it. Yes, I feel the same. Or are we just rushing through our day, kind of falling this way and that way, just making it, just surviving, trying to deal with things, trying to save a relationship here and patch one up there, because we are not solid on this one, because we're not found and rooted and laid on that solid foundation. How do we respond to the cross on a daily basis? Please stand with me tonight. Now, I don't know where everybody's at this evening, but I want to say this, that I just, there's some of you might be feeling it though, but you don't know where I'm coming from, you don't know what I've gone through, and I've had time with God, or but you don't know where I'm at now, and you're right, I don't, but I know where God's at. Scripture says, while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies with God, He gave His Son. And Christ died for us. That's the measure of His love. That's the measure of His saying, this is how far I'm prepared to go. I'm giving everything right here. I'm making myself vulnerable. I'm opening myself up to rejection. And tonight, let's just close our eyes. Wherever you're at, know that God loves you. Where you're at, just the way you are, with baggage, with issues, with stuff you're struggling with, wherever you find yourself in whatever relationship or not, God has paid the highest price for you. And He has given His only Son. And He has demonstrated His love for us in this way. And if those thoughts are coming again, but there's so much in my past, I want to say to you, God knows about that stuff. And He's not intimidated. And He's not freaked out by that stuff. He says, bring that stuff. We'll deal with it step by step. We'll take it on one at a time. But I love you. And I care for you. And I have a plan for you. And I have a purpose for you. And once you find yourself in that purpose, and once you're rooted in Christ and found yourself in that, confidently in that plan, God can add the blessing of relationship. God, things can happen, things can shake, or things can take us this way or that way, but we are rooted and founded, we are grounded in Him, and we will not be shaken. Because we know He's the one. We know that foundation is laid, and we respond to that. We respond to that love every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for your word, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd come now in the name of Jesus. I pray that you'd speak into every heart, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd convict every one of us, Lord. God, we know that as we humble ourselves before you, Father. And when we read the scripture around these things, God, it's often a struggle because we come face to face with the reality, God, that we fall short of your glory, God. We fall short of your plan and we fall short of your design in so many ways. But Father, this evening, we humbly come before you, God, and we acknowledge that in the name of Jesus and by the power of the cross, you've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have made it possible through the empowering Holy Spirit in and through us to live and to press towards that goal, to press towards that prize, to become like Christ, to be transformed into His image, Father. And Lord, and this evening I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd speak to every one of us, Father, that you'd just come and convict us, Lord, of those things, Lord, that we need to submit to you. The places where we are doing our own thing, where we do not agree with you, where we kind of going on our own tangent, where we missing the plot, Father, where we missing your purpose and we are misunderstanding your plan, and we're just going on our own track, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray tonight for a conviction of your purpose and your plan for every person in this place. And right, just wherever you're at, just now as we're standing with eyes closed, if you...